The Lord gave this to me 2 weeks before the retreat, and I just kept singing it. And then I was singing it all night in my sleep, and I was singing, "Does Jesus Care?" And he just had me praying for so many people last night. And then June had said, "I didn't get to hear it." I said, "Oh, it doesn't matter." And she said, "Yeah, it does." So Mom had said, "You should sing that for one of your songs tomorrow." And I said, "Oh, we'll see. I don't know what the Lord wants." But I like it. It's called an evening prayer. So as I told the ladies after we had, it was so much about forgiveness. And if you really think about forgiveness, and this came out many times, how deep is this? That's a deep subject. But that's something I believe God is trying to work deep in our hearts. We've got to learn to forgive. Because if I have been crucified with Christ, and I'm living, yet not I, it is Christ that liveth in me. He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But when I got this song, he told me, "I want you to turn it. I want you," so many times we say, "Well, I think so-and-so really owes me an apology," or "I think so, I don't understand why they would do that." But the Lord said, when you hear the words, "if I," we need to hear it for me. I need to sing it as unto the Lord, from my heart to him, not pointing at other people and their failures and what they haven't done. But these words really speak volumes to me. If I have wounded any soul today, if I have caused one foot to go astray, if I have walked in my own willful way, dear Lord, forgive. If I have uttered idle words or vain, if I have turned aside from want or pain, lest I myself shall suffer through the strain, dear Lord, forgive. For if I have been perverse, or hard or cold, if I have longed for shelter in thy fold, when thou hast given me some fort to hold, dear Lord, forgive. Forgive the sins I have confessed to thee. Forgive the sins that I do not see. Oh, guide me, love me, and my keeper be. Oh, dear Lord, forgive.
All right. If you'll turn this afternoon to the fourth chapter of Revelation. Revelation 4 and verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Skip down to verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts, or living ones, full of eyes before and behind. Verse 7. The first beast was like unto a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And I want to make a few comments this afternoon on a flying eagle. I want to notice here, first of all, in verse 7, The first beast was like a lion. You'll find that is Christ manifest as the king in Matthew. The second beast was like a calf. That shows the service and sacrifice of Christ. You'll find that in Mark's gospel. The third beast had a face as a man. That shows Jesus. That's found in Luke, and you'll find that as a demonstrating Christ as a part of the human race, as a man. And then the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And that one you will find in the book of John, who presents Jesus as the Son of God. And so just a few comments on this flying eagle, as we find here in verse 7. You will notice that, first of all, it brings out Christ as a heavenly bird, a heavenly being. The eagle really being the king of the skies, so to speak. And that simply tells us that here is something that is far beyond man's control, and that was true of Jesus. He was not controlled by man. He was rather controlled by God. He was bound only by the will of God. And so there is a freedom there in the flying eagle, so to speak. He was not bound by the trappings that are here upon this earth at all. The earth simply could not contain him by any stretch of the imagination. Once again, he was simply and completely free to do the will of God. And then the flying part of it. It seems like he was always on the move. He didn't camp out at one particular place. He had absolute freedom, always, as I say, on the move, and indeed always the conqueror, going from one thing to another. And that is exactly what we see in Christ as being that flying eagle. Now, I want to notice that we too are to have that same spirit within us, and that is Christ in me, the hope of glory. The things that Jesus would do are exactly the same things that God intends we should do. I have said it over and over again, that the life which we live as of Christ, the life which we live like unto Christ, we are not imitating him. We're not trying to figure out what he would do in a certain situation. It is wonderful to contemplate and to really understand that we are not imitating, once again, the life of Christ. The life of Christ is being reproduced in us. And this is what is so wonderful. This is why there is victory, is because we are giving Jesus the opportunity to live his life again in this mortal body. And when you scatter that around among all believers, that gives you a wide range of things that he is able to do, a wide range of people that he is able to minister to, a wide range of works that he is able to accomplish, but it still goes right back to the same thing. It is the life of Christ himself that is manifest in all of this. And this is what we are seeking in our lives and in our experience today. This is the beauty of the life of Jesus. Paul said, the life which I now live in the flesh. He's talking about in this mortal flesh. Not talking about the old man, he's talking about this mortal body. The life which I now live in this mortal body, we find out, is given unto Christ. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It all centers around Jesus. He is the one that is to the front, and that's exactly what God intended. When Jesus came down into this world, he went to the cross into the obedience of God. He established, he accomplished, he implemented God's plan of redemption. We were the ones who were, of course, and are redeemed. And so everything, God intends that everything should point unto Christ and to his glory. And one day we rejoice in the fact that one day he's going to receive the full complement, the full amount of the glory that is due him, because he is going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in God's stead for 1,000 years. God intends that Jesus should receive the fullness of this glory because of what he did there at the cross of Calvary. He became a man, and now he is, because of that, he is worthy. He is qualified. He has earned the right to judge men and indeed to obtain the fullness of the glory that is due him. And we are simply waiting for that to happen, because the beauty of it is we will be able to share in that glory. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And so that means reigning conjointly with Christ as he really receives the fullness of the glory that God has always had for him. All right, those are my few thoughts for this afternoon. Why don't we go ahead and sing a closing song?